Bible says God's people die from lack of knowledge, lack of knowing. They do without because they don't know they got faith. Why wouldn't you know you got faith? You ain't been to that Bible. You ain't been in a good Bible preaching church, teaching church. You got to be in. It ain't any preaching that does good. It's the anointed preaching. There's got to be an anointing on the Word of God, or it's just like a Reader's Digest or a newspaper. The anointing is what makes all the difference in the getting the Word of God and the deliverance of the Word of God and the receiving of the Word of God. See, He anoints us to get it. He anoints us to preach it, but He anoints your ears to hear it. See, throughout the Bible, Jesus would say, "He who has an ear, let him hear." Everybody heard, but everybody didn't hear.
That's right.
Everybody there was hearing the words, but there was some that wasn't hearing them. See, the will of God is for me and you to be built up in faith. Now people get upset, that faith bunch, they called us faith bunch, that faith church. And I asked them, what's y'all's church? Is it not a faith church? Well, you know what I mean. No, let's get it down here. One of them said, "Well, you know, we're Baptist." I said, "Y'all better have faith."
Right.
I don't care what you call yourself. What are y'all saying? What are you saying? That's a faith bunch. I find in the Bible that you can't please God without faith.
Amen.
I find in the Bible that I lose battles without faith. I find out in the Bible that faith is a strong confidence in a man. When you look it up, a strong confidence is what it is. So every one of us has faith. It's God's will that we have faith. Now, faith begins in my life and your life, in other areas of our life where we find out God's will, or God speaks a word, or God births it by, He'll birth His will in you and it'll bring faith.
Amen.
Whether it's, you know, a house, a job, stay where you're at in your job, you don't like whatever. You seek the Lord and He'll, all of a sudden you'll just know that it's God's will that you stay. That's faith. Faith arrives. Then you have the ability to stand no matter what trial comes to that place of knowing God's will. You have the God-given force on the inside of you, faith, hallelujah, that will cause you to stand in the will of God and come out smelling good. Hallelujah. Faith starts where the will of God's known. Now, I didn't just get over on... I am a prosperity minister.
Amen.
Jesus was a prosperity preacher.
Amen.
He was. But God, I mean, if you were lost, you'd leave her saved. You was in the grave, you'd come out.
Amen.
You need to pay taxes. Peter got money out of the fish's mouth.
Amen.
I mean, everybody was hungry, multiplied a meal, a kid's meal. Multiplied it and fed 5. I mean, all through the Bible says Jesus went about doing good and healing how many?
All.
He was a prosperity God. Now I know He's a correcting God because He loves us. I'm not throwing that out. But I find that when I'm in faith towards God and I know God's will in this area and that area, I want faith makes you want to obey God. I mean, that's why discouraged people get in disobedience most of the time. You know, you can't, I mean, faith motivates you to get up and say, "I messed up, God. I'm sorry, God. God, would you forgive me, Lord? I'm sorry, Lord." Faith, when you're in faith and I'm in faith because we know the will of God, it causes us to repent.
Right.
When we're messing up. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It's not a bad thing. Faith is a wonderful, wonderful gift of God.
Right.
You can't be saved without it.
Right.
We're saved by faith through grace.
Amen.
Or saved by grace through faith.
Amen.
I mean, faith actually releases the grace of God, whether it's in getting born again or in the financial realm or in, how many knows that healing? A lot of people stay sick because they don't know they don't know that they have a choice. I mean, I've had people to tell me all kinds of things because of my dad was this and blah, blah, blah. The doctors, you know. They'll be like, what's that got to do with it? The Bible says.
Amen.
See, I've got to believe what the Bible says, not before I believe what the natural realm's telling me. So that I can stay in that God-given faith. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. I found out that Jesus took on himself poverty that I might be made rich. I found out that Jesus, by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. Over 2,000 years ago, Isaiah 53 prophesied it before Jesus ever came there. Hallelujah. See, I found out the will of God that I don't never have to be weak spiritually. Never.
Right.
And so I have faith that I won't.
Amen.
So when I feel discouragement coming, you know what I do? Jump right up and draw all the wells and say, oh no, you ain't coming to my house. You ain't coming to my thoughts. God cast them down. I have bad thoughts in church, do y'all?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have them back there. I've been sitting back there. Bad thoughts pop up in my mind right in the middle of Sunday school. You know, the devil comes too. Sure he does. My workplace will jump in my thoughts here, you know, in church. You know, oh, can't wait till tomorrow. Go run that bull. Whatever I like, you know. I have to cast them down. Don't the Bible say it? 2 Corinthians 10, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God for the pulling down, casting down imagination, all of us, and bringing every thought to captivity.
Right.
Even in church.
Amen.
Cast them down. Because if you don't, you'll say, oh, I'm just an old dog. I shouldn't be thinking that stuff in church. Got you right off of what the Lord wanted you to get. Got your mind right off of Jesus, right off of the Word of God, right out of them. And I mean, just got you to shut off that channel of faith that was coming to you.
Right. Yeah.
Just shut it off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you can shut off the flow of God in your life instantly. I mean, instantly, he can be flowing and just flooding your spirit, and you get distracted and let that distraction take your thoughts away. Somebody scratching their head, screaming in the church, whatever the case might be. Stay focused. Because God brings us, the Bible says, he sets us at a table in the presence of our enemies, and our cup runs over. Prepare the table in the presence of our enemy. I read that one time and I thought, stupid devil, he's had me fooled all these years. That he's something, that he can control my life. He don't control nothing about me.
Right.
He don't control nothing about me.
Right.
If I let if he stays at my house any time, I just let him.
Yep.
Get a little practice in. I think sometimes we need a good devil. I think sometimes we need one. We need somebody to stab us in the back every now and then. I think we need a little bit of persecution every now and then. Who do they think they are over there? That faith bunch over there. Feels good to have faith, though, because you get everything accomplished.
Yeah.
Faith, I got faith that works. You got faith that works.
Yeah.
See, the body of Christ has got faith that works.
Yeah.
Faith that works. God kind of faith. Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. Or one translation says, have the faith of God. Have the God kind of faith. See, Paul said to examine, I find that ain't a lot. I mean, faith is really hard to find nowadays. See, you know, When I see people in the worst situation that I could think that they could be in, and they ain't whining, They're still talking about God. I see faith. I see, I'm like, God, man, I feel sorry for them myself. Good God Almighty. And I'm in worse shape than them in this thing. Why? They got faith. Because what's led up to this trial that they're in, they ain't been playing around. They've been reading the Bible. They've been fasting. They've been seeking the Lord. They've been taking the circumstances that come their way to consecrate their heart towards God and by themselves when they're alone and all of that. They spend time thinking about God. And then when they get to that major trial in their life, you would think it would take them under. You would think it would take them out. And they're still standing. Yeah. Why? Because they stand on the word. Let the Lord do the battle. Victory, oh victory is mine. Hallelujah. Give me that. Bad that opinion, please. See then that we walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And then Monty brought that up. And he said, that's my word for the week. Amen. That's my rhema word. And I said, well, that's what I've got. You know, that rhema word that he had was confirmation. Because I staggered around this morning. You know, I couldn't find the vein, Brad. You know what I'm talking about. No, you're seeking the Lord, nothing happened. You're wishing some preacher called, and then they text you after you done left. That happened this morning. But it wasn't meant. I found what God was speaking and everything. That happens. But I don't get out of faith. I don't, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up there. If nothing's flowing, I'm in the will of God this morning. I'm supposed to preach this morning. See, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Whatever the will of the Lord is in your life, get understanding of it. Have it down clear. If you have to, write it down. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it on your dashboard. Whatever. When you find the will of God, when you find the will of God for your marriage, write it down if you need to. Get that thing down on the inside of you, praise God, and then no matter what you feel. This is one thing the Lord spoke to my heart years ago. He said, son, he said, find out what my will is for your life. And at all costs, do it.
Amen.
Whatever it costs you, do it. See, it won't really cost you nothing but faith. Because if it's money, God's got it.
Right.
If it's people you need in your life to get it done, he's got them. He knows how to connect. He only needs is our faith. Our faith in him. But you got to know the will of God. Everybody ought to know the will of God where you go to church.
Amen.
Some people today, church is just a building. Yeah, it sure is. This is a block building. The people that come together, the word church means called out, called together. And it's not going to change.
Yeah.
I don't care what president, what pandemic, I don't care what. It don't change. Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. The Bible said, God said, I am the Lord your God, and I don't change. He established the church in the book of Acts, had it set up all the way from the foundation. Jesus was slain before the foundation of the earth for the church.
Hallelujah.
He was a lamb slain. One place it says he was a lamb led to the slaughter. But that was purpose. He was the will of God. He was in the will of God. He said, I come not to do my own will, but of the will of him that sent me. Hallelujah. Right?
Yeah.
To the Garden of Gethsemane. I don't really want to go to church here sometime, Brad. Oh, there's a lot to go somewhere else. Cassandra said, I wouldn't. I know what that's the way it's supposed to be. I got to get there. But I know I'm in the will of God. There ain't no place I would rather be than in the will of God.
Right.
I don't care if it feels good, looks good, sounds good, or don't. If it's the will of God and I know it's the will of God, I'm going to stand on that until Jesus comes. You know you're supposed to be healed. You ought not to ever get in unbelief in that. You ought to never get in disobedience and fear over your body being sick. That is not good. See, the Bible says to know to do right and do it not is what? Sin. Amen. To know to believe for your healing and don't do it, you reckon that can be sin? I believe it would. I believe it grieves God. I believe it grieves God for me to lay around sick and weak and don't feel good and don't enjoy life. And that's not what he sent his son for. He sent a great sacrifice and put him on a whipping post. He didn't have to go to that whipping post. He had to take those for me and you to be healed.
Glory to God.
That's why the Bible says, by Jesus stripes ye were healed. Well, ain't a lot of people. I'm not going to be concerned about why a lot of people ain't healed. That's not my business. That'll keep me sick. They might be a million reasons. They might not be standing on the word. They might be in unbelief. Listen, the word works and God works. I mean, he's true. The word works, it never fails. He don't fail. And when I believe him, the word don't, it works. This thing works, hallelujah. If it ain't working for you, you ain't working it right. It ain't God. I don't know why God don't move for them. They're good Christians. I don't know why are you even saying they're good Christians? They ain't got nothing about how good we are. Listen, I can preach the gospel and get sick. You know, God, you know, we got things to do for you. And God can't move for me. I've got to get up and what? Fight. We got to get up and fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of the things of the kingdom of God. Demand our bodies to line up with the word of God. It's not just about confession. It's about laying hold of what's been paid for and making sure that we oversee what he's given us, called good stewards.
Amen.
See, we want to just put it where our money's concerned, but no, we're supposed to steward over the word of God. We're supposed to steward over the anointing. We're supposed to steward over the grace of God, and it multiply in our life. Hallelujah. To where we increase. Somebody was telling me the other day, said something. I said, I've been redeeming time for 27 years. They looked at me and said, what? I said, I lost a lot of time without Jesus up to 20, but I've been redeeming the time ever since.
Amen.
I've been taking it back. I've been taking my life back. I'm still taking, and I'm taking on new life all the time. There's new life in this walk, man. This thing don't never get old, really, if we don't let it.
Amen.
You know, I make a scenario of, I cooked breakfast. I've cooked breakfast for 20-something years, 27, 28, for my family every Sunday. Way back, been, you know, there's just very few Sundays that I hadn't cooked a breakfast for my family. And you know what? I don't say, I mean biscuits. I cook some good biscuits. They don't look good sometimes, but they are good biscuits. Shoot, man, they're good. They melt them out and all that. Well, you know, I don't save them all week, Brad. What I got left. They're just not as good next Sunday as they was this Sunday. They're still biscuits. But they're just not good. So I just carved them and I put on some fresh. And I want a good fresh biscuit on Sunday morning. Well, you know, that's the way it is. That other biscuit would get me not be hungry. You know, that biscuit I cooked, if I saved it all week, it would still be a biscuit. But and you know, you bring it over to I know I can quote you scripture. Give and it shall be given. Good measure. I've knew that scripture for nearly 30 years. I can quote it. But you know, it's still good to go in and eat it. Go in there and look at it. Read it with my own eyes again. Do I have to? No, I sure don't. I already know it. It ain't got nothing. I need some fresh manna out of that Luke 6:38 every now and then. I mean, I don't need it. I've meditated on it back on. When it comes to my marriage, I don't need to say, well, you know, we made it up here in 36. We've been married 36 years by the grace of God. And I'm still alive. Jesus changed her. She's got the nursery, so it cost her to get this one. But you know what? It's because I took the Word of God. I took the Word of God, found out the will of God. I said, God, I want to know the will of God concerning marriage, Lord. He said, and the first thing that I read in her, husband, love your wife as Christ so loved. Oh, I thought, oh, Jesus, she'll take advantage of me over this one. But I can't let her see I'm weak. She's already trying to dominate me, Lord. Well, she thought I was dumb as dirt. How stupid was that? Blinded by the enemy, right? Well, we were contrary to Scripture when we got saved. Contrary. She run the house. I mean, no, y'all women ain't supposed to run the house.
Amen.
Y'all are playing. Amen. See? That's why you're having trouble. Y'all have the will of God. Supposed to submit to your husband. Well, Trish thought I was dumb as dirt. So here she goes. She's trying to change me with the Scriptures. You know, she's reading 15 chapters of Scriptures a day. I mean, every day that woman's coming in, and boy, she got it out like a sword. The Bible says for you to do this, and the Bible says for you. I'm like, good God, man, you're killing me with that. I mean, she's trying to straighten me up. She's seeing everything I need changed in. And boy, she's studying to show herself to prove not a workman that not be. She's wearing me out with it. And so she says, well, I'm going to having a women's meeting at church. How to be the wife, husband of a happy wife or something like that.
The wife of a happy husband.
Wife of a happy husband. That was it. You remember? I thought, good. Teasing out of whatever it was. Good. Don't go find out something. So she goes up there, you know what? And they brought out the Scriptures where she's supposed to not make the choices. She's not supposed to be, you know, and how they think that their husbands are dumb. God did that. Thank God y'all were there. The will of God was just slapped her right in the face. So she come home. She realized she's trying to make all the decisions at home, and I can't man up. I can't man up if you don't let me. Right? Well, see, what I'm saying is here, we're finding out the will of God. I'm not just telling you my story. You've got it in your own life. Every one of us has got that flesh nature that want to dominate ungodly nature that we're born with, that we've been redeemed from through Jesus. We're just finding out the will of God. Why? Our life is a mess at this time. We're born again, but we're still in a mess. And so, next to, she found out in there, you know, they started ministering to her one time or two or whatever, but they bring up that Scripture, wife, submit yourself to your own husband. And she's thinking, God, he ain't make no right choices. See, God was taking my life serious. He loves me, and He loves us, and He wanted us to have a good marriage. We didn't have one up till then. He wants us today. He wants marriages to be good, and He wants marriages to be selfless on each other's part, and it ain't all about me. And you know, He wants the woman to be able to let the man make the decisions of the house like it's supposed to be in the Bible. So it wasn't long, I run into something, and I'm like, what do I do? She's like, what do I do? She's putting it into action. She said, I don't know what you're going to do. I said, what? Are you serious right now? Man, you've been telling me all this time, man. What's your problem? Help me out here. She said, I can't. God won't let me. I said, God, how's God stopping you? Open your mouth. But you know what? She didn't know and I didn't know that I'm going to be a pastor in a church. She didn't know and I didn't know that I'm going to own two businesses. And She didn't know that she can't make decisions over here she knows nothing about. But God knows. He knows the will for you. He knows what the will of God is. That's why we seek to know the will of God. Therefore, be not unwise. Don't be dumb about your marriage. Don't be dumb about your finance. Don't be dumb about what your ministry, what God's called you to do. Yeah, but I work. Yeah, but that's not being wise. Whatever God's put in your life, God is giving you the ability. He needs you to walk in faith and say, God, I don't care what it looks like. God, I'm going to do your will. I'm not going to ever get a divorce. Lord, I'm going to, whatever it is. And we've had people to leave here because we're preaching on don't get a divorce. Because they've been divorced. And I told one time, well, don't leave the church, man. Next time you get married, don't get a divorce. Learn. Well, you know, some things is inevitable. It is to you, but not to God. See, we're believing now based on evidence in the natural. We got to stay. See, if the church is going to be strong and we're going to raise up a generation that's strong, we're going to have to lead them into the Word. We're going to have to tell them, believe based on the Word, not based on your experience or everybody's experience. Had a guy tell me one time, you know, he said, well, I give my way to poverty. I said, that's not possible. No, let me tell you, I'm standing here telling you. I said, you've missed God somewhere, man. I said, you don't give your way to poverty. There's nowhere in the scripture where it says give and you ain't ever going to have nothing. I said, here you're trying to get me. You don't mean to, but you're trying to get me now to believe based on your experience, man. I said, not going to have it. I said, I'm not going to bite that bullet. I said, I'm sorry. I said, what you need to do, you need to repent. And you need, he said, no, I've been helping families, blah, blah, blah. I said, where do you think that gives you a right not to be led? I said, every need that you run into is not a leading. The Bible says in Romans 8:14, see, I'm trying to teach you the will of God here. I knew a lot of people that didn't have no Christmas money. I still got money in my pocket. I could have went and bailed them all out. And I asked the Lord, Lord, do you want me to help? Lord, do you want me? I'm one to find the will of God there. If it's the will of God, if he don't speak to me, doesn't guess what? It's not the will of God for me to do it. I've had people call and chat my sister one time. Oh, could you come and put my son? He's done drugs. Could you put him up in a motel? I said, no, I won't put him up in the motel. Well, your church, you said, you know, y'all never broke. I said, we're not. Y'all got money? What we do? Bunch of it. We ain't never been broke. Never. Our first lot bill was $54.17. And God spoke to us and said, no weapon formed against you will prosper. It could have been $54.18, $54.20. $53.68. That was the word of the Lord back then. Well, when I got the $900-something lot bill, I didn't faint. Had the people come to, good God, call Alabama Power. Oh, there's something wrong with them meters, brother. Something wrong with them. I said, nah, glory to God, ain't calling them, hallelujah. I said, this is just an opportunity for you to see our God pay his bill. What nothing wrong with it? We run 3 units. We've been used to sweating. And we're kicking some juice, man. We're kicking so much it burnt the line off of the power pole out there. Psst, while we're preaching. Burn off the building. I pulled out the lanterns. I'm ready for it. We got lanterns under the pulpit. I ain't stopping. Burn it off. Whole building lit up out there. Make sure what's smoking. Throw the lanterns up there. Why? Because we're in the will of God and we're not going to be moved. The Lord ain't through. And so I said, I broke out the lanterns. I said, everybody don't panic. We're going to finish the service. Hey, people got touched in that service. Hey, people got things happened at the end when I had the altar call. See, what I'm saying here, the dynamics of the supernatural kingdom is faith. Without knowing God's will, you won't have no faith. So Tracy, she's, now you have to watch. You have to watch. Well, let me get back there. I told the Lord, I said, okay, Lord. I said, I'm going to love my wife as Christ so loved the church. I said, that's pretty deep, Lord. He gave his life for the church. I mean, that's deep. And I said, Lord, what does that mean for me? I mean, I can't just go die, you know, that way. I'm thinking natural. I said, Lord, what does that mean for me? What does that mean? I got up one morning, Bradley started to work, and I fixed my lunches. I worked for the other guy. And I went to get my snack out of there, and it was brownies, and there was only one brownie left. And I thought, there's only one. I thought, oh, well, she don't work, man. She's here, you know. I got to go out there and work and all of that. And then I had to stop. Scripture. We know that's the Holy Ghost when I have it. Love your wife. Christ so loved the church. Standing there in the kitchen. I thought, surely God, you wouldn't want me to go off without something to eat for snack. And her sitting here at home and don't get up at 9 or 10 o'clock and can cook anything she wants and do anything she wants and expect me to go do without out there. That brownie. See, that was the beginning of the anointing when I left that brownie in that closet or in that cabinet. See, the Bible says, you don't say the big thing spoils the vine. He said the small foxes spoils the vine. See, that was the will of God for me to leave that in there because he wants me doing the scripture. Didn't have nothing to do with the brownie. It could have been y'all leaving your socks in the floor. You know, you make your coffee, you stir it, you leave it on the counter. You don't get the spots up, you know. You're lazy. And you want your wife to do everything. Oh, we better get back to Jesus here. I'm telling you the keys to the kingdom here that, buddy, when hell comes against my marriage, it can't shake me. I'm founded on the rock. We've been reading about the two foundations. One built on the rock. One built on the sand. But he led up to that talking about love your enemy. Do these things. And then leading up to the ones that are built on the rock and the storms come and beat and couldn't move that house. Jesus was given the word, telling them, love your enemies, pray for those who despitefully use you, talked about judging, talked about giving, didn't he? Up before, that's Luke 6 over. He was talking about all them things that led up to two foundations of Christians. The word is how we build our life. We build our life close to the wind line, to the word as we can, and then we've got the kingdom backing it up. We've got the kingdom back in the day. But he says, be not, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding. What is the will of God for your kids? Well, I should never spank them. I don't believe your... The Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Well, right. Well, they say, you know, it's mentally... The Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Who are they? Are they smarter than God? No. We stay with the Bible.
Amen.
Somebody told me one time, they said, well, I'll lock you up. I said, I went to jail for the devil. I might as well go for Jesus. I tell them I'm not afraid to go to jail. Jesus is in me here. Jesus will be. The devil don't want me in jail. I tell them, the devil don't want me in jail, but God. I won't even want out. I'll tell Teresa, just don't bail me out right now. Let me stay in there a little bit. I'm going to fast. They'll have to feed me, man. I need to fast anyway. Right, God, I'll start fasting and praying, and I'll find the will of God in there, and I'll get everybody in the jail saved. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, I mean, that really, I mean what I'm saying. Because I'm going to do the will of God even if it costs me. Find the will of God. Do the will of God. Meditate on the scriptures that you really don't like concerning the will of God. Lord told me one time, he said, jail, I was going to jail in court. Bradley got me started. It fell on Christmas, Brad. And I thought, well, you know, we got a lot going on for Christmas, you know. Families and this and that. And the Lord said, what's Christmas about anyway?
Christmas is about Jesus, Lord. He said the world celebrates toys and this and that and all of that. He said, but you celebrate life. He said, because you didn't have none until Jesus came in your life. You didn't have none. I said, no, sir, I did not have none, sir. I was messed up. My marriage was messed up. I would have had a messed up kid. I would have had everything messed up. He said, I need to go down there today. See, he needs you to go there.
Amen.
He needs me and you to be the hands and the feet. He needs me. He needs to see Travis. They got married one time. And see, your time's coming. Your grandkid, whatever, time's coming. Travis, he's out there. They got married and all of that stuff. And now they're having to learn how to live together and all that. Wants to, you know, all the love they think they got sober, refrigerators tore up, all that stuff's happening. Uh-huh. Grocery buying. Uh-huh. Somebody got to wash dishes, go to work, you know. You can't live off of love.
Right.
You know? And so they having a little trouble, you know, and so kind of Travis, he there for me. I told him, I said, son, I said, I've showed you how to be a husband. I don't need to tell him, bro. I done showed him. I don't need to tell him nothing. You go do what daddy's done. You've seen it before me. So if you men ain't man enough on being a daddy, well then your words ain't going to mean nothing to them kids when you tell them love your wife when they see you gone. I'm not getting on to you. And I mean, God, I mean, look, we ain't got time to play. Look at the world. Look at the TV. We've been talking about how, I mean, we got Buttigieg up there. They're married now. And they got their kid now and can't go run our ships on account of it, showing us in plain view that this is okay. No, it's not okay for a man to be married to a man, for a woman to be married to a woman. No, that's not okay. It might be okay at the White House. It might be okay on Fox and CNN and 13, but it's not okay in my Bible, and it's not okay in my heart, and those lives are going to be torn up. Those kids ain't going to know a mama like God created them to know a mama. I'm not judging them. Go on and live your life like you want to, but Buttigieg and all of y'all gonna stand before the Lord Jesus one day, because everybody will have an opportunity to know the truth before they see the Lord.
Amen.
But look, I'm not gonna get caught up in the affairs of this world. I'm just not gonna get caught up in it. That's not my business. My business is to lead this church and lead my life in a way that people see the Lord. They feel the Lord. They have the anointing in the house. Their lives are being changed and transformed. They're getting the knowledge of the will of God.
Right.
What's the will of God for your kids? Well, I want them to be like, you know, being men. No, it's not good either. I laid my hands on my son. I was being 5 years old, and I blessed him like he did in the Bible. I've seen it in the Bible where they blessed him. And I blessed him. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm not going to provoke my will on him. I don't know what your will is for him at 5 years old, Lord. But I know that it's your will that I raise him up in you. I raise him up knowing you, following you. We had him fasting in the house. Parents won't even do it anymore. Well, we don't want our kids to suffer. They're going to suffer without Jesus one day.
Amen.
Travis, he would come in and had a note one day. I hate fasting. I hate fasting. Why? Because we didn't make him do it without food. But he fasted off of Facebook. Whatever, wasn't on Facebook. Well, off of TV. I mean, if this house is serving the Lord, it's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. If you're in this house, guess what we're going to do? Serve the Lord.
Amen.
See, we're talking about the will of God. I've got to close. I hate to cut it off. I'm just having such a wonderful time. I got the anointing flowing. It's on the inside of me, moving. This is the way 2022 is going to be a rock solid year for us. If you ain't been tithing, get yourself tithing. What's wrong with you? Your Bible says if you're a Christian, you better get in there and read that Bible. If you're having trouble with it, meditate on it day and night. You know?
He told Joshua over there, he said, take my word, meditate. He didn't say, pick out what words you want in the Bible. He said, meditate on it, and then you're going to make your way prosperous. He said, take the words that I've given to Moses and meditate on them day and night. Then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. He didn't say, then I will make you prosperous. He didn't say, I will make you have good success. He said, you will. Why? Because God was with them, and God is with us today. And if you're sick in your body today, praise God, I'll pray for you and anoint you according to the word of God. Praise God, but I can tell you what's a lot better than that you get on top of that thing through the word of God, knowing the will of God, it is the will of God. See, some people believe that God puts sickness and disease and allows things to happen to slow them down and quieten them so that they can hear from the Lord. That's ridiculous. There's nowhere in Scripture. Guy walks up. Come on, close your knees. Out here to give away. I come back. Shouldn't even been down here. But I'm determined. But God, I'm not laying around anymore after open heart surgery. I'm just not going to do it. I'm feeling lazy and it feels good. Told Travis, I said, no, I know how you've been feeling now, son. I feel that lazy stuff and it kind of feels good, don't it? I told him that. But I got to get back to work before I feel like you do, lazy. I come down there to give away, pray, God, Tracy, you going? I said, I'm going, give me some clothes. I said, I'm getting out, I'm going to do the will of God, man. I said, I know it's the will of God. Well, I mean, you're weak. I said, I'm not, that Bible says, I'm strong. Let the weak say that I'm strong. I said, yeah, I'm weak. I said, but I'm strong. Man. See, that seems foolish. But don't be unwise. It's the will of God for me to do the will of God.
Amen.
And I'm unwise if I don't go do. Grace comes to me when I go do the will of God. It's the will of God for me to be healed. I ain't got time to be sick. Amen. Well, yeah, I walked up there with the Bible. Yeah, Brother Weston, good to see you. And I said, yeah, how's it going? Oh, I'm going good and healing quick, man. Healing coming forth speedily. He says, well, God works in mysterious ways. I hate that stupid saying. Like he's some weird guy. Works weird, mysterious, weird, really? Oh, it wasn't weird rolling back the Red Sea, was it? It wasn't weird when they tried to go through in faith the enemy like they did. They didn't make it. I know what people mean. You know, that sounds spiritual. But no, God works in ways we don't understand sometimes. That ain't mysterious. That's me having some weird thinking. God's got a million ways. I can't even think about to work out a situation for me. But that don't mean he's weird and mysterious. Right?
Right.
We got to keep our thinking straight about our God. He is all-knowing, all-wise. He's not. Things ain't hid from us. I hear the scripture quoted all the time. I have not seen or ear heard what God has in store for those that love him. They stopped right there, Brad. They stopped. That's not what that scripture says. It says, but he has revealed it. He's revealing it. Like I'm down here and don't know what God's going to do. Yes, I do. He's going to raise us on up. He's going to strengthen us. But anyhow, that guy said, God, he works in mysterious ways, Brother Weston. He knows you're a busy man, wanted you to slow down for a little bit before he could just minister to you. I looked at him. I said, are you serious? You're not talking about my God. See, he's got a God he created in his own mind. Did you know you can create a Jesus in your own mind?
Yeah.
You sure can. You can mold him any way you want him. Mama told me one time, she said, I was trying to teach her how to tithe. Boy, God understands. I can't afford it. I said, you've created your own God, Mom. I said, I'm sorry, but that's not the God that I know. God loves you. He gives Jesus for you. And God's telling me to tell you, through the word of God, because he wants to give you more. I said, God understands his word. God understands faith that he's given you. And you know what? She went on and did it later on. But God, that my mama left everybody money when she left here. Started under Jesus, draw $600 a month. checks, all she drawn, Social Security. She left every one of us a check and all her bills paid when she left. She became a woman, a believer in the financial realm. And I told that preacher, I guess it's a preacher, I said, listen, man, that Bible you got in there in under your arm? Because I thought, don't come and give me that garbage. I'm fighting a good fight here, man. You know, don't. The enemy's going to do that. When you're standing up for the will of God and you know the will of God, you're going to do the will. He's going to try to get you off of it. He's going to try his best to get you to stop, just get you to waver. Winners never quit, but quitters never win. I told him, I said, that Bible you got under your arm says King James. That's the one I got. I said, ain't nowhere in that Bible that I found that you just preached to me. Not one place in that Bible have I found that you just preached to me. Well, I wasn't preaching to you. I said, yeah, you was. I said, you preached to me just now that God allowed me to go through open heart surgery so that I would have some rest time. I said, that's what you said to me. I said, now let's get on in here and get you food. We're going to pray for you. Who is praying for him, man? I pray that unbelief right out of you, homeboy. Pray God. Get on in here. My God healed me, praise God. Well, see, we can't allow things of being unwise, not knowing what the will of the Lord is. That sounds good. Well, everybody's going to go around sick now. God's trying to teach us something. That's stupid. That's plumb stupid to believe that. What does the Bible say to our teacher? The Holy Spirit, right? It don't say sickness, disease, hardship, and all that. People said, well, you know, I'm going through things because the Lord wants me to have more faith. I said, what scripture did you get that out of? There's nowhere in the Bible says you're going to gain faith if you go through a lot of trials. Everybody will be spiritually rich. I said, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. You better have some faith before you get in that storm. You don't need to wait till you get in the storm to try to come on muster faith up. Hallelujah. Now listen, don't you take the way I'm preaching. I'm just passionate about what I'm preaching this morning. Under no kind of condemnation or anything. But you got to be firm in what you believe and firm in what you stand. Because our adversary, the devil, he is firm. They stand together. Do you know the bodies don't unite like the devil's kingdom does? Man, them demons ain't fighting over us nothing, man. They're in there, get or die. Them demons are just unified. Reminds you of a party, don't it? We got. But that's all right. No weapons formed against us to prosper, right? We won't get off on politics. Some of you won't come back to church. But you just flood your living room with it all day long like you're not a Christian. Make no sense, doesn't it? We let our living room teach us, but don't bring it to church. Now, I find that Paul confronted a lot of that stuff happening out there in the world, praise God, in the church. He took it to the church. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord, we just thank you, Father. We thank you today.